I want to start this morning by challenging your imagination. Imagine, if you can, me as a 15-year-old in the summer of 1971. I was beginning to take a driver's ed class, and there were four classes that year among all of us that were old enough to take the course. And I had Mr. Chambers. He was the woodshop teacher. And those first 3 or 4 weeks were an exercise in patience, because we saw those other three classes getting on the road and driving, and those first 3 or 4 weeks, we were driving up and down the parking lot, learning how to stop at a cone and learning how to change a tire. So, and one other thing that he did, he spent the better part of one class period talking about blind spots when you're driving. You know how you're in one freeway and there's a spot just behind you there where you can't see someone in your rear view mirror or your side mirrors. They just sit there and you don't know where they're at or what they're doing. And this week that came to mind because I thought a lot about blind spots. We all have blind spots in our lives. Sometimes it's because there's a particular thing or situation that we can't believe is happening or not happening. Sometimes we have blind spots toward family members or loved ones or people we work with, because it's hard for us to fathom that they might do something to hurt us. And sometimes we have spiritual blind spots where we can't always see what the Lord has in store for us. And the story of Bartimaeus brings three pieces of the puzzle, I think, all together for me. You know, blind spots aren't our personal thing that we have to deal with. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the rich young man who had trouble giving up all of his possessions, as Jesus asked him to do. Last week, James and John were squabbling over who was going to sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus in the kingdom. So, if we have blind spots, we're in pretty good company, I think. But three things in the story of Bartimaeus jumped out to me. The first one was his persistence. When he cried out to Jesus, people tried to silence him, to shush him up. That's not so different than what we see in our culture today, where a lot of people try to minimize the things we have to say and the witness that we should give about Jesus. But that persistence pays off eventually. We may not always see it, but it does pay off. And the next thing was his faith. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And that's a step ahead of the disciples at that point, because even though Jesus told them that he had to suffer, die, and rise from the dead, at this point they still didn't quite get it. But Bartimaeus saw it and called him out with a messianic name, Son of David. So that faith played a great part. And it wasn't just Jesus healing him, it was his faith healing him. He believed that what Jesus told him would happen. And sometimes for us that can be a struggle, because things seem so dire or so difficult. And the third thing was brought up to me 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had the privilege, when there were a group of teachers from across the diocese from Catholic schools here for a couple of days of training, I had the privilege of praying with them and worshiping for a short period before the Blessed Sacrament. And the Lord gave me a word to pass on to them. And that word was trust. He wanted those teachers to know that not only does God want them to trust him, he wanted them to know that he trusted them to carry out their part of the mission, to lead and to guide those young people. And the Lord wanted me to give that word to you today as well, because the Lord trusts you to do those things that you're able to do to bring forth his kingdom. Oftentimes, they're very simple things. Being with people, talking with people, praying with people. And when you have a chance to tell the story of what Jesus means to you, to have the courage to go ahead and do that. Scripture tells us that we should pray always. And there are times when that is difficult to do. I have a number of friends who suffer from various afflictions and different things, and I know they're prayer warriors, and they pray for healing, but a lot of times healing takes different kinds of shapes and sizes and forms. It doesn't always mean a cure, because you can be healed in mind and in spirit. Relationships can be repaired, and all those things are healing, although not necessarily a cure. So what do you do when things don't go the way you would hope? When you persevere and you have faith, what happens when things don't quite go the way you would have hoped? That's where trust comes in. Jesus doesn't always grant our wishes, but he does give us what we need. And to be able to accept that is a gift and a blessing in itself. I, for one, believe that every prayer is answered. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is maybe not quite yet. But you see, here's the thing. To be able to trust in that and to keep going and to persevere and to be persistent means so much to the Lord. You know, he always wants to hear from us. Prayer at its root is a conversation. He wants to hear our hopes and our dreams, things that we need. But like a good father, he gives us what is good for us. And sometimes it doesn't entail what we want. A couple of weeks ago in Scripture, we heard that what father among you gave their child a snake when they asked for an egg? And so sometimes what's best for us is hidden from us, but it's that trust in Jesus that keeps us going, that keeps us moving forward, that helps us put one foot in front of the other as we go along. And so I started this morning with asking you to try and use your imagination. And as I finish today, I'm going to challenge you to use that imagination one more time. Imagine in your life that you have a spiritual blind spot, and that you get up and come to Jesus, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we all have different answers for that question. I oftentimes ask to be able to see like he sees, because there are so many things in the world, so many situations, so many different things going on with people that we can scarcely imagine. But if we, even for a moment, had the ability to see as Jesus sees, how different the world would look to us. So use your imagination. Ask Jesus to be with you. And take care. Be careful, because sometimes what Jesus wants for you may not be what you want. But it's always in your best interests, even if it's so hard to see.